kindergarten through fourth grade can now make their way. The rest of you turn to the Gospel of John, please. The Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. What a blessing. John chapter 15, please. It's a blessing to be in church, is it not? So thankful for God gives us the grace to be here. I'm thankful for each of you. I love you. And I'm thankful for how God is working in each of our lives and helping us to know Him better. I pray that this morning we'll leave here knowing and loving Him better after hearing His Word and being together as His people, drawing strength from the Lord and from one another. And I'm just so thankful. Let's look at the Word of God together. We have started a series. We've preached through John 15. We come to the end of this chapter. It'll roll over into chapter 16. You realize the divisions are man-made here. Now, I think they're for a good purpose, but the chapter divisions are man-made. The original scrolls, they all just went right together. But the divisions do help in understanding context and study. But here, we're going to start in chapter 15, verse 26. As we understand our context here, Jesus is preparing His disciples for His departure. Remember, Jesus is leaving. Where is Jesus going, church? He's going to Calvary and eventually heaven. That's exactly right. He will go to the Father after He dies on the cross, is buried, rises again the third day, and then will live here on earth for 40 days, and then He will ascend. He will ascend and be there with the Father until that day where He comes and gets His bride, that is, the church, all those that have believed the gospel and that are in Christ. And He will come, and it could be today. I have no idea when it will be. I will never pretend that I know, but I know that the Bible teaches me to expect it at any time. And may the Lord help us to be ready for that. But these disciples, let me encourage you and remind you, these disciples are distraught. They're discouraged. They don't know what to do. And Jesus is going to pour into them because He loves them, just like He loves you and loves me. So let's read and let's try to get the heartbeat of this text and hear what God is teaching us today. I want to challenge you as we read this passage together. As we read these verses, I would like for you to try to count the times the text gives reference to the Holy Spirit. Now, His name is given, I think I'm going to read at least four names. I'll give you a hint, just the jump start. You're going to see Comforter, Spirit of Truth, like that. You'll see that, but also I want you to count the pronouns that refer to the Holy Spirit. And so as I read, you try to read along with me, and then maybe I'll call on one of you to give me your number at the end as we finish reading. All right, John 15, 26, Jesus says here, I'm going to read verse 25 and we'll go right into 26. Jesus said, "But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of Truth," those of that are counting, you know you have two already, "which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to Him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on Me. Of righteousness, because I go to My Father and ye see Me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. That's talking about Satan. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, and He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are Mine. Therefore said I that He shall take of Mine and shall show it unto you. Does anybody want to take a guess? Raise your hand. And how many? How many, buddy? 18. That's exactly right. 18 times in 17 verses, the Holy Spirit is spoken of by our Savior. Do you think it's important that God's people take note in what God is teaching us about the Holy Spirit? I believe it is. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us to understand even right now. Holy Spirit, we do come in the name of Jesus, and we ask You to teach us this morning. Reveal to us Your will and Your words and who You are and who Jesus is. Reveal to us our own heart, Lord. Please pull back the covers, O God, and show us who we really are so that we can get the help and the guidance we need. Only You can do that, Lord. I can't. There's no person in this room that can perform that. It's a supernatural work that is committed to You. So we're going to trust You to do it, and we're going to give You the glory and the honor due unto Your name. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Holy Spirit has come to help is the title of this morning's message. The Holy Spirit has come to help. As we noted, it is 18 times at least He is referenced in this short passage. So the Lord Jesus is really wanting these disciples to get a hold of this truth. And obviously, they're not really getting it at this point. Does that remind you of anybody else? Reminds me of me. Sometimes it takes a lot for God to get our attention, does it not? But we can learn from this. Now, if everyone in this room is honest, which I believe so, I look across this room and I just see a lot of honest looking people. I believe that. Well, maybe all of you. I don't know about... I'm just kidding, brother. We see here that if we're honest, we're able to relate with these disciples. They had fear. They had unbelief. They had worry. They were self-absorbed. They needed help. And so do we. The good news is that Jesus promised His disciples help. That's the theme of this text. I'm not leaving you lonely, disciples. I'm not abandoning you. I'm not forsaking you. Yes, I'm leaving, but if you would just listen to me, Jesus is speaking to them here. If you would just get a hold of what I'm trying to tell you, you would be encouraged. You'd be strengthened. You would be rejoicing. That's the goal. Now remember, this is referred to as often the final discourse. Chapter 13 of John that goes through 17, the end of 16. It's that final discourse before Jesus goes to Calvary. He's sharing those things with them to prepare them for His departure. He told them no less in this time of discourse, 24-hour period. Get this. He told them no less than 8 times. How many times? 8 times that He was leaving. in that short period of time. Specifically, I'm leaving. They weren't getting it. He also promised with those eight statements so that he's leaving, he also promised them that he would not leave them as orphans. He would not leave them comfortless. He would not leave them helpless. In fact, he promises them, if they would have been listening, he promises them that actually because he's leaving, greater works will be done. Can I show that to you? Can you flip back probably one page in your Bible to chapter 14 and look at verse 12? Look at chapter 14, verse 12. Jesus said this, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I shall do, the works that I do, shall he do also," and get this, "and greater works," say that with me, "and greater works than these shall he do." Why? "Because I go to my Father." Wow. Jesus is trying to get their attention, but it's going over their head. Why? Why is this not soaking in? Well, I think we can relate, can we not? They were so filled with their own personal ambitions and their own anxieties and their own worry and their own fears that they were missing the message of God. And do you know that maybe you can relate with them here this morning? Maybe there's some worry going on in your life, some fears, maybe some type of sin where it's clogging up the lines from you hearing Jesus wanting to pour encouragement to your life and to give you clarity and to give you direction and to assure you that, child, my son, daughter, it's going to be okay. I'm with you. You got to get back to my promises. I've told you over and over again, I'm not going to leave you. I'm with you. Maybe there's someone here today and you're not a child of God. You've never been born again. You've never put your faith that Jesus died for your sins, was buried and rose again the third day. Jesus is inviting you today. He's calling you today to come to Him for salvation, to realize that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. He does that because He loves you. That's who He is. He's calling all to repentance and salvation. That means basically turning from your way to God's way. But He's trying to get the disciples here to understand. And He's going to teach us about the Holy Spirit. He's teaching the disciples about the Holy Spirit. Now, remember this. They were not totally ignorant of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit didn't just come around in the New Testament. The Holy Spirit is eternal. He's been there from eternity past. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But we see Him evident in the Old Testament as well. Just like we see Christ in the Old Testament. We see the Holy Spirit. But the difference was, get this, the Holy Spirit would not indwell the believers in the Old Testament. That was a unique difference. He just came upon them for seasons of ministry, seasons of work. The Holy Spirit would come upon them and the Spirit of God would leave them. This is about to change. I mean, it's about to really change. This has never happened before. The Holy Spirit's going to enter into the believers, into their lives, into their hearts. And He's going to guide them and teach them and comfort them and even convict them when they get out of line. He's like, come back this way. Yeah, that's a work of the Holy Spirit of God. And they're learning. It's interesting, Francis Chan, which I haven't read a lot of his stuff. I have read bits and pieces and have heard some messages, so I'm not necessarily promoting all that he teaches. I don't know him well, but I know that he wrote a book called The Forgotten God. And the premise of that book was the very fact that God's people have much forgotten about the Holy Spirit and His work in our lives every day. And His work in the lives of this local church and many others around the world. You see, He is the third person of the Godhead. And much to our dismay, we have neglected the vital presence and ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. And Jesus is telling His precious disciples here, and He's telling you today, don't forget the Comforter. Don't forget His presence. Don't forget His ministry. Don't forget how He's working in your life and how we learn to listen to Him and talk to Him and love Him and not quench Him or grieve Him, and where He also is our best friend. He is a friend. He's a comforter. He's the very word, parakletos. Let me point you to that word there. That word in verse 26, comforter. It's also translated in some versions as helper. I like comforter. The word come means to be, the root word come there means to come alongside. And the fort aspect of this word, the root meaning, is to fortify. So the comforter, he does help, but it's so more intimate than just helping. He comes alongside right next to you and me, and he fortifies us. He fortifies us, and Jesus is teaching that to these disciples because they're all messed up. Their nerves are tore up. They're depressed. They're discouraged. They don't know what's happening. And they just, things are not working out like they thought were going to work out. You ever been there? Maybe you're there today. God's got a word for us. The Holy Spirit has come to help us, to comfort us, convict us, teach us, guide us, make us, empower us. And ultimately, He is pointing us to Jesus. He is pointing us to the Lord. So let's walk through this passage together. It says in verse 26, but when? That is when the comforters come. That means when Jesus leaves, the comforter will come. And we know that that happened at Pentecost. That's in Acts chapter 2 is when that took place. And He is making that promise here. Jesus is going to send Him and the Father, which, by the way, this passage has the Trinity stamped all over it. People say, I don't see the Trinity in the Bible. Well, you're not looking very closely. You see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit all over this passage. Because it's funny, it's interesting too, isn't it? Because Jesus says, I will send the Comforter. But then the Bible also says that the Father will send the Comforter. Well, is that a contradiction? No, they're one. They are co-equal, co-eternal. Hey, they are all together in one, and we know them as the triune God. And we see the Comforter being taught here, and He's telling them He's the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit will always lead us back to the truth of God's Word. Now, please, I don't want to get ahead of myself here. I have a bad habit of doing that. But if there's one thing I drew out of this passage that He was trying to get after with these disciples, and He was getting after Brinson's heart, his son's heart, my heart too. He was saying, look, you cannot let your emotions override the truth of my word. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. And many times the roller coaster of our emotions seem to override the truth of who God is and what He's promised us and where He's leading us, and we buckle and we give in and we become a mess because we're not allowing the Spirit of truth to apply the truth of God's Word to our needy hearts. We need help. Hey, I think that's what sometimes the last word some of God's people will scream out. But I believe it's the first word every day we need to cry out. You know what that word is? Help! Help! Isn't that the truth? But sometimes the last word. We ought to wake up and say, oh God, we can thank Him for the day, but then say, Lord, help us. Help us. I hear it. My precious wife does a phenomenal job homeschooling our kids. Because when I do come home for lunch or from there in the mornings or whatnot, I hear it often. Mom! Help! I need help! Help us! And then if you got it coming from three different directions, I'm like, honey, how do you not go insane? But I realize that these teachers, these educators, I don't say that Joanna does it for three, but we got a teacher in here that have 25 in the classroom. Help! And sometimes it can get wearisome, but I want to tell you and I want to assure you, please, friends, understand this. And I'm not just trying to be cute here. I'm telling you the truth here. God never gets weary of hearing His children cry out for help. Never. Never does He get tired of me coming saying, God, help me. Help me. Help me. He welcomes the message. He welcomes His children. And that's what He is trying to encourage them here. He's like, I'm sending help. Notice verse 27. It says here, and ye also, He says, in verse 26, He's coming. He said He's going to testify. Now don't miss the end of verse 26. It says, He, the Holy Spirit, shall testify of me. Well, what does that mean? It means that He's going to be a witness of the Lord Jesus. He's known Jesus from eternity past. He knows Jesus, and He's going to come into this world and make Jesus known. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He brings attention to the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Savior, the God-man, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He's going to bring attention to Him, and that's what we are seeking to do this morning. And the Holy Spirit will bring attention to Christ. He will testify as a witness of who Jesus is. But then don't miss this, verse 27. Jesus makes this very clear to these disciples, and He said this, and ye also. Now you ought to circle that in your Bible. Ye also. You ought to underline that. Ye also. Who is He talking about? He's talking about these disciples. But my friends, He's also talking to you and me. You are to be a witness to this world. Jesus has left us the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, and those that have been saved have the Spirit of truth dwelling in you, and we are able to give truth and point people to Christ. Can I ask you a question? When's the last time you shared your testimony with a coworker? When's the last time you shared your testimony of being saved with a neighbor? I mean, just do inventory. I'm not judging you. I'm not picking on you. I'm just trying to get us to look at our hearts. You know, where are we? Jesus says the Holy Spirit's going to bear witness of Christ, and He says you are as well. So how often do you tell people how you got saved? Can I tell you? Have I ever told you how I got saved? A question like that. If they're honest, they may be like, yeah, you did tell me that. Maybe they'll say, yeah, I've heard that several times. But you might get this response. No, I don't think I have heard that. And then you could say, would it be okay if I shared it with you? And most of the time, you probably will get a response like, yeah, sure. If things aren't in a rush and whatnot, you're just sitting there eating a meal together or kind of just talking, chatting. Hey, look for those opportunities. And they may shoot you down. I mean, hey, that's, we talked about that last week. There may be some saying, no, I hadn't heard it and I'm just not interested. And you respectfully say, okay, that's no problem. No problem at all. I just want you to know that I'm not any better than anybody. But I know that I was a sinner on my way to hell. I needed a Savior. His name is Jesus. A witness. And He's telling them, you can almost say here, He's trying to get the focus off themselves and get the focus on what I'm commanding you to do. Let's keep moving here. It says that He goes over in verse 16 again, chapter 16. This is just chapter division, but He says these things. We don't have time to do it, but if you would circle these things, I have at least five of them circled, four to five of them just in verses 1-7. These things. Jesus is talking about, this is what I'm trying to tell you. This is my word. My word I'm speaking unto you. And then notice the end of verse 1. He says, these things have I spoken to you that ye should not be offended. Now what does that mean? Well, these things, He's spoken about the persecution that's coming, that they would be hated because they hated Jesus, they hated the Father. And we'll notice here in a minute again, and I know you remember from last week, what is the foundational reason? Remember? What is the foundational reason that the world hates God? Does anybody remember that? It was one of my points. They don't know Him. Jesus said that in chapter 15. He's going to say it again. They don't know God. So they are hateful by nature in their heart towards Christ. Every person's born that way. You say, I don't believe that. Listen, the moment a person comes to realize they may be able to do religion easily, but the moment we have to submit ourselves to this precious word and to say, God is my maker and He also is my Savior and I have to believe Him, a lot of the world will turn when you get to that point. And they'll say, that's very narrow-minded. That's not fair. And the hatred starts to come. It's like, oh! When you start talking about Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes unto the Father but by Him, ladies and gentlemen, that's where hatred starts coming forth. And Jesus is simply saying, I'm telling you these things so that you will not be offended. And you know what's interesting about that word offended? It's the Greek word skandalazo, where we get our English word scandal, where to cause hurt. And He says, look, I don't want you to be scandalized. I don't want this to be a stumbling block to you. That when people talk bad about you and people are mean to you because you walk with me and represent me. And when you go, listen, the last thing I want you to do, children, He's telling these disciples, is to give up on me. The last thing I want you to do is to get discouraged. The last thing I want you to do is to even get angry. Because here's the thing, brothers and sisters, we got believers out there that are angry at the world with hatred. It's God's children are being reciprocal with the hatred. And it's wrong. God did not call us to hate the world, but to love it as He has. Now, when I say world, remember there's two uses of world. The world of mankind is the one we're called to love, not the philosophy of the world, not the value system of the world. We aren't to love that. We're to hate that, because that is where we get into sin, okay? But the world as a whole, mankind, we are called to love, to outlove, to have a passionate love as Jesus had for you and me. We see here that He doesn't want them to stumble. I may be speaking to you, someone here today, and maybe you're scared. Maybe you're fearful. Maybe you're having these emotions. Maybe you're ready just to be apathetic. Say, I don't have time for this. Yes, I got my fire insurance. I've believed in Jesus, but I'm just going to coast through this life. Can I tell you, I got a message from God's Word for you today. Repent. Repent. Turn from that and say, God, I'm sorry. I've been lazy. I've been apathetic. I've been full of fear. I want to live for You, Lord. You died for me. The least I can do is live for You. That's God's message to His people today. And He just doesn't leave us there. He's not like one of these messages like, oh, just get out there. You can do it. Oh, hey, yeah, yeah. No, brother. Come on, Caleb. Come up here, brother. It's much better than that. We'll pretend Caleb's the Holy Spirit, all right? I'm walking in this world, and the Holy Spirit's not saying, you know, tell me to go out there into the world. That's not the way it works. The way He works is you tell Him to go out in the world, and He's right there with me. Amen! That's what the Holy Spirit is doing. He's calling you, and He's saying, I'm Parakletos. I'm coming up alongside you to fortify your soul in this nasty, wicked, hateful, hurtful world. It's nasty out there in the world. It's a hurtful word. They'll chew you up and spit you out as quick as you let them. But I'm telling you what, when you're walking in the fullness of the Holy Ghost and the power of God, you'll see this world impacted for Christ. Notice He says here, I'm going to go back into this because He covered in the passage before. So I'll just allude to it here. But He says here, they're going to do this in verse 2. They shall put you out of synagogues. Obviously, He's not talking to us there. We're in a church. This is in a Jewish setting. But we can make application. You might get fired because of your faith. You might get demoted. You might get overlooked. You might get picked on. You might get reprimanded because of your walk with God. It's going to happen. And there was even some, look at verse 2. There were even some that says there will be some that will kill you, thinking that they do God a service. Wow. Let's make this clear. This is just a statement of truth. And we have to remember this ourselves. Sincerity is never a measure of truth. These people were sincere. They were genuine, thinking they were doing God a service by killing Christians. They thought it was truth. Oh, it must be truth. They're so genuine about it. No. Truth is based upon God's Word. Sincerity is not authoritative. It's good to be sincere with what you do. We want to be genuine, but you could be sincerely wrong. Now notice it says they will persecute you in verse 3. It's because, again, why did Jesus tell us? Don't miss this. It says, and these things will they do unto you. Let's say that last part of verse 3 together. Because they have not known the Father nor me. There's your reason. Don't get bitter. Please don't get bitter at the world. And I'm just going to step off on a little, I'm going to chase a little rabbit here. I don't think it's going to go long. But it's just a warning from my heart to yours. Please be careful on what you listen to and watch concerning news. Even conservative. I listen to conservative. I'll tune in. I'm not judging anybody here. But let me tell you why we got to be balanced. And do it in moderation. And let me tell you why. Because a lot of those talk show radio hosts look at the world with hatred. Not with the fact of a biblical worldview that the answer to these people's problems is not convincing them that they need to be Republican or independent or Democrat. No, it's not. You know what it is? It's convincing them the truth that they need a Savior. Because the heart will change when a person comes to the Savior. And what can happen and be a stumbling block that we get so vicious, oh, y'all want to fight? We'll fight. Now listen, we ought to fight the good fight of the faith. That's the gospel ministry. Go out there and blaze a trail with the gospel, proclaiming the truth of who Jesus is and what He's done, standing for what the Word of God teaches us, making no apologies, doing it in truth and love. I'm telling you, we got to do that. But I'm telling you, don't get bitter and angry. Don't be one of those old grumpy people that Satan has gotten so twisted up with the world that you could just, if you had your way, you could go live in a cave somewhere and have a television with Fox News and you'd be all right. Don't be that person. Don't be that person. Let God, is there somebody under conviction over here? Amen. With all seriousness, we need information, do we not? It is good to be informed of the world. But Jesus is teaching these disciples, I don't want you to let it be a stumbling block. Yes, these people are going to hate you, but I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit's filled up with His children, there is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. In closing, look at verse 5. He says, but now I'm going away. And there, he's going to give them I call it a kind rebuke. It's a kind rebuke. It's not harsh. But notice what Jesus says. He says, I'm going away to Him that sent me. That's the Father. But he notice what He said. Please don't miss this in verse 5. And none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? He's saying, You, I've been with you this time. And I've told you 8 times since we've been together, I'm leaving. And none of you have come and inquired seriously about the specifics of where I'm going. You say, well, Pastor, don't you know that Peter asked him where he was going and didn't Thomas ask him where he was going? You would be correct. But if you go look at the context, it was not for the purpose of finding out where he was going. It was find out for the purpose of what in the world does that mean for them. Do you know what the difference was? The focus was on them and not on him. See, a lot of times we're just like them. We'll ask the right questions with the wrong motive. God, why are you letting this happen to me? I've been there. You have too. Why has it got to happen this way? Instead of saying, Lord, what are you teaching me through this about you? What are you showing me to be like Jesus? How are you changing my life through this? Whose life? Lord, how? That's the question we are to ask. Lord, not just, God, how's this going to turn out for me? But Lord, how's this going to turn out for your glory? And Jesus is sitting here telling them, you have been looking in the wrong way, and their sorrow had become a stumbling block. The same thing he was telling them not to do in verse 1. Look at verse 6. But I know I got to close. Verse 6 says, but because I have said these things unto you, please read the next part of the verse with me. Sorrow hath filled your heart. They were missing a blessing. They were preoccupied with their own loneliness. They were preoccupied by their own grief. They were preoccupied by their sorrow. And their emotions overcame their hope. And I don't know who I'm speaking to today. You may be in a place where you have let all those things just crash over your hope. Crash over your peace. Crash over your joy. And Jesus is saying, listen to what I have said to you. The Comforter, the Holy Spirit, has come. He's with you. He's leading you. And Jesus is saying, don't be paralyzed with sorrow. Don't be paralyzed with contempt. Hey, be filled. And it's interesting. I wish I could elaborate on that. But that word filled there is the same word in Ephesians 5:18 where the Bible says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. What are you filled with today? Are you filled with sorrow and grief? Hey, listen, we're creatures. God made us to grieve and to experience sadness. There's a place for that. Nobody's denying that. But when it is a stumbling block to walking with God, we got a sin problem. And Jesus has got a message for us, just like he had for them. I'm sending you help. Comforter, Spirit of God. He's there to help you. He's there to lead you. And get this, we already know it because we read it last week. He gave the illustration of a woman giving birth where their sorrow would be turned to joy and mission. That is what Jesus is teaching them here. So let's be filled with the Spirit, going about what the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are calling us to do as a church. And as a people, let's do it for His glory. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for...